Well, last week I began a new series entitled, You Shall Receive Power. You Shall Receive Power. And today we're going to continue with that theme. And during the month of September, I don't know how long this will go, but we'll see. It's kind of like we've got one nail, and I just keep hitting that same nail with a hammer, looking at it from different perspectives, trying to get a different lens in a different place of Scripture to expand our understanding that we have today the same Holy Spirit the early church had. We are under the same commission today that the Holy Spirit was under. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's so important, and as we near His return, it's more important than ever that His bride, His body, the church, is equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what we have been commanded to do. And that's to take the Gospels to the nations and to do the things Jesus taught those original disciples to do. That is part of the Great Commission. And we are trying to lay up a wider foundation for that. A lot of us have come from streams, and we can be very grateful for the deposits we received. I'm so grateful for my foundation. And I grew up a Free Will Baptist. And after Mickey and I were married and had numbers of arguments about it, I got to studying the Scripture and I became a Southern Baptist. After pastoring for 15 years in Southern Baptist churches, the Lord really began to deal with me. And I found myself in a place of desperation, particularly when it came to reading the book of Acts. Not just the Gospels, but the book of Acts. And the letters of the New Testament. I saw a power operating in the early church that I didn't see in that extent in today's church. I saw people saved, thank God. Saw people baptized, thank God. But beyond that, didn't see a lot. And I became burdened about that. And something within me kept moving me toward this conclusion. If it worked then, it should work now. And I had trouble wrestling the Scriptures and tweaking the Scriptures to excuse me from expecting today what the early church expected. And so this series is kind of scooping into that arena of thought. And I'm telling you that you need to be rooted and grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ and realize that the same Holy Spirit empowerment gifts and so forth that worked in the early church are still operative today. We should expect no less. The more I study this, the more I become convinced of it. So, last week we were in Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The 120, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Cloven tongues of fire were over their heads. They spoke in other tongues. And there was a great harvest of souls. That was followed in Acts chapter 3 with a tremendous miracle of a man who had been lame all his life who was healed. Signs and wonders began to explode in the early church. We get to chapters 5. People are falling dead in church for lying about their giving. We get to chapter 6, the church is distributing and helping widows, and a conflict arises among the widows that some were being neglected, and the apostle says, we've got to give ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. We need some help. Choose 7 among you that are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom to take care of this. And so they did. Among those 7, the first 2 that are mentioned are Stephen. He was stoned to death in chapter 7. As a result of that, a persecution broke out in the early church in Jerusalem, and they began to be scattered. The second one mentioned in that list of 7 was Philip. The Bible then picks up with Philip, Stephen having been stoned. Philip goes up into Samaria, and that's where we're going to join him today. And what we're going to see is the same Holy Spirit that began moving in Jerusalem has now worked up through Judea all the way to Samaria and is beginning to be poured out there. We're going to see this, and it's just what Jesus said would happen in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit comes upon us to empower us to witness. The Holy Spirit comes upon us to manifest His gifts through our life. The Holy Spirit wants to work through us for signs, wonders, miracles, salvations, healings, deliverances, and so forth. That was the operation of the early church. That should be the expected operation of today's church. We should settle for nothing less. And so I'm hitting the nail in different ways. And Father, just bless our brother back there right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You all right, brother? Amen. Bless you. Now, we're going to step into Acts chapter 8 with Philip, who is now in Samaria. Remember, they're being persecuted. Stephen's stoned. They're not leaving Jerusalem saying, oh, I'm not going to talk about Jesus anymore. We're getting in trouble. I better shut this down. People might not like it. Those kind of thoughts often accompany where the Holy Spirit starts breaking out. People get uncomfortable. Some folks don't like it. And so Philip, when he shows up, let's see what happens in verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. Notice this, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Notice that he's preaching Jesus, and then the atmosphere around the preaching of Jesus is described. People are hearing and seeing miracles. Now, how could they hear a miracle? Let's read on. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. Now there's a key. That's the ministry of deliverance. Evil spirits often cry out and speak through other people, but when Philip showed up preaching Christ, they cried out, then they came out. That came out part is the important part. People were set free from demons. Do you believe there's demons today? A lot of people must not think so because they don't believe deliverance ministry should be in a church. Don't talk about demons. Where did they go? They were still on the earth after Jesus ascended because Philip's casting some of them out up in Samaria. The early church did such a great job, they just cast them all out and they're not around anymore, right? No. See, sometimes you need to think about what you're thinking about. Because some people say stuff like that and don't think about what they're thinking about. So they're crying out. They're hearing the supernatural power manifest. They're seeing miracles. People are set free. And it says in verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So the atmosphere around the preaching of Christ in the early church where lame people were healed, unclean spirits were coming out of people, and it says that many were healed. Even paralyzed people started walking, moving again. I remember the very first time we had our monthly healing meeting. We had it on a Sunday night, the very first one. And in that service, I remember this so vividly, many of you will, that were there. We had a young man, I think he was from Sheffield. He had come because he had heard about the announcement we were going to have a night of healing. He showed up. His left shoulder was frozen. He couldn't move it. He was scheduled to have surgery. He came up for prayer, and in 30 seconds, we saw the Lord touch that young man, laid hands on him, prayed for him, and told him to try to move that arm. And in 30 seconds, he was doing helicopters. The Lord just unfroze his shoulder, helped him bypass the surgery in the hospital, and just go straight back to work. That's Jesus. Now, I saw that with my own eyes. I heard his testimony in my own ears, and a number of you here will remember that. And that was one of a number of things like that we saw last night. We saw a brother who received a healing here yesterday. Is that right, Todd? Did the Lord touch you? What was going on with you? How long had you been? How long had you had that situation? Since 06. But since yesterday. Amen. So perhaps you believe Jesus still heals too, don't you, brother? Amen. This was happening in Samaria. It should happen today. And notice the result. And there was great joy in that city. They were excited about it. Do you know, and I've encountered this before, and being services and ministers, where someone getting healed caused problems with other people. No, that couldn't happen. Why? Because God doesn't do that today. Well, I don't think he got that memo. He went right ahead and healed that person. But there was great joy in Samaria. They were excited. They didn't have problems then. Well, this person was paralyzed, and now they're up walking around. God did this. But today, it causes controversy. The idea that God would still touch someone and still heal someone. So important for us to just stick with what the Bible says. This is the early church. This is the life in the early church. There was great joy in that city. I've got to keep reading. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. You know, the devil does have some power. He can manifest. The devil, most people don't have any trouble believing the devil can manifest. And evil things can happen. And people get involved in darkness. And the devil uses manipulation. He uses intimidation, and he uses domination, and that's what's behind the practice of sorcery. Intimidation, manipulation, and domination. And it leads people in darkness and bondage. And so people were afraid of him because of that kind of stuff. But when Philip showed up, he was walking in a measure of something that was superior. So much so that this sorcerer named Simon, we're told in verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So we see an atmosphere in the early church where Christ is preached. The kingdom of God's being preached. Christ is being preached. The gospel. The paralyzed are being healed. Lame are being healed. Unclean spirits are coming out of people. Now here's a sorcerer that knew about the power of darkness. He knew how to manipulate demonic powers and use them for the devil's agenda. But now he's encountered something beyond him, bigger than him, better than him. And the Bible says he believed and was baptized. So I believe what the Bible says. If the Bible says he believed, I believe he believed. The Bible says he was baptized. And by the way, people here, after they heard Jesus and confessed him, what did they do? They got baptized. And even this sorcerer, they baptized him. They didn't require him to go through a 12-month course and get a certificate that he had gone through all these training courses in order to be qualified to be baptized. They just drew the conclusion, well, since Jesus decided he would save you and saved you, then yes, you can be baptized. Sometimes we just need to see what the Scripture says. We put stuff in place that are hindrances to people. And so they're baptized. This sorcerer is baptized. Then it says, and that Simon himself, who also believed when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, he had seen dark powers that were, I've seen the devil do stuff. People, you know, we should not fear the devil. We have authority over the devil. But that doesn't mean the devil can't. I've seen a spirit come on people. I've seen a young lady one time kick a chair and it went 15 feet in the air across the room. I've seen the enemy manifest. I've seen a woman tearing her Bible like this, just taking her Bible and tear it like this, talking with a man's voice coming out of her body. I mean a deep guttural voice like that. Yeah, there can be manifestations of demonic power, but this sorcerer who dabbled and plied his trade in the dark realm, he is now seeing something. He knows, whoa, 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 this is bigger, this is better, this is God. And so he embraces Christ. He believes and is baptized. And it says that he was amazed. He was amazed. And we're going to see in a moment that even though he saw paralyzed people walking and lame people walking and healing and all these unclean spirits coming, he was seeing all that. Something happens that tops it all for him, because when he sees people receiving the Holy Spirit, he wants that more than all the rest. He even gets into the old Simon rises up in a wrong way. Let's read about that. Verse 14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. Now, by the way, those people in Samaria, had they heard the word? Had they believed? Had they been baptized? Okay. It says that these apostles, Peter and John, they sent them to him, verse 15, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And this really moved Simon, we're told. And when Simon saw, notice that, he saw something happen when they laid hands on people and they received the Holy. He had already seen miracles. He had seen paralyzed people, lame people healed. But when they laid hands on people and they received the Holy Spirit, something deeply moved him. He had some unholy ambition rise up in him. It says that when he saw that through the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. You see, there was an apostolic anointing on Peter and John that came into that territory. Jesus was being preached. But this apostolic anointing came with Peter and John. Now, why? Because Jesus told Peter, Peter, because of this confession, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you lock will be unlocked. Whatever you unlock will be unlocked. And who unlocked the gate, if you will, of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? It was Peter that was preaching. God worked through Peter, came upon the 120. But Peter was the lead person who preached. And now in Samaria, there's another outpouring, but before the Holy Spirit comes, Peter comes with that apostolic mantle, and it shifts things, and the Holy Spirit is poured out. Now, were they saved before? Yes, they believed, and they were baptized. But when he laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now, I shared with you, I might have shared with this with you last week some. There's the within you ministry of the Holy Spirit. He comes and lives within you when you're saved. John 20, receive the Holy Spirit. Then later, those 12, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were empowered for ministry. And that's where the power manifests, through witnessing and laying on of hands and so forth. The endowment of power from on high, Luke 24. There is an endowment, an empowerment that comes upon people from the Holy Spirit. And we see here in the early church that through the laying on of hands, it came in Samaria upon these Samaritans. And Simon, now he wants it. It says, but he said to, Peter said to him, he tries to buy him. He says that Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone in whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. The ambition to want to be able to lay hands on people and see God move, that can be a very holy thing. Don't you want God to use you in that way? Jesus said you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. The unholy part is this. He thought he could buy it with money. It doesn't come. You can't buy it. You can't barter. It comes from God. Freely we receive, freely we give. You can't buy God out. You can't barter for it. And so Peter knew this was a problem. I imagine fresh on his mind is those two people who fell dead in his presence who were lying about a money issue in the church. Ananias and Sapphira. And so now, here's Simon, and he believed, he's baptized, but you know when you get saved and baptized, that doesn't mean that the whole fish is cleaned. You know, you've been saved, but God's still going to work on cleaning you up inside out, getting your life right, getting your thinking right, getting your mind renewed. That's discipleship. Dying to yourself, finding the lies you believed, replacing it with the truth, and learning to bring your flesh into a place of subjection and submission so that the fruit of the Holy Spirit can manifest in your life. And Simon, he's saved, but he's still got work to do. So Peter straightens him out. And Peter says to him in verse 20, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. In other words, you're not going to be involved in what's going on right now. Why? Because your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness and pray, God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Now, this is a convicting part of Scripture because this tells us that the Lord deals with us based on what we're thinking in our heart. Sometimes you may have you may say things the wrong way, but your heart's right. That's one thing. It's another thing to say the right things, but your heart be wrong. Well, Simon was saying the wrong thing, and his heart was wrong. So he's just off course here, and Peter straightens him out. He said, I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. So he's humbling himself now, like, oh, keep back, and I'm sorry. Please pray for me. I don't want that to happen. And so when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Acts chapter 8 gives us a porthole through which to view what a culture looked like in the days of the early church when Christ was preached and believers were being obedient to the Holy Spirit. You got the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, Simon saw something happen to people when they were prayed for. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. Now, last week I shared with you, the approach was we looked at Old Testament prophecy in Joel, that this power, it was prophesied it was going to come. We saw in Acts 2 that it came. And we saw in the Scripture that it's still for today to continue. In a similar way today, we're going to look at this passage. And the first thing I want you to notice is this. The power of the Holy Spirit we see in the book of Acts is also for believers today. Everything you see happening in Acts 8. Now, the order may change at times, and we'll get into that one Sunday because you see the order, sometimes you get all of it at the package deal, boom, boom, boom. And sometimes there's a separation. But the first thing that always has to be the first thing is to believe in Jesus Christ. In Acts 10, they believed in Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke in tongues, and then they were baptized. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came upon the 120, and then Peter preached. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter preached repentance, in other words, believing, getting right with God through Christ, being baptized, and then receive the Holy Spirit. Here, we see Jesus being preached, them being baptized, Peter and them come, lay hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. We get to Acts 19. We'll see some guys that have been baptized by John. Then they're baptized again in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they speak in tongues, and they begin to prophesy. I remind you that last week we saw from Joel's prophecy that Joel prophesied when the Lord would begin the time of pouring the Spirit out on all flesh, and it was all who would believe, not just chosen people for select purposes, but all believers, that there would be visions, there would be dreams, there would be the operation of the prophetic that would take place. Now here we're seeing the book of Acts, the gifts manifesting, tongues. We're seeing gifts of healing manifesting. We're seeing deliverance manifest. So you begin to see that the preaching of the gospel is surrounded by and accompanied by the manifestation of the supernatural power of God. Well, I've been in the church a long time and I've never seen anything like that. So therefore, it must not be for today. And that's the problem. We allow our lack of exposure and our lack of experience to create in us an expectation of unbelief. The power of the Holy Spirit we see in the book of Acts is also for believers today. We see it here. Signs, wonders, miracles, gifts, fivefold ministry, all used to expand the kingdom. Why the kingdom? They preached about the kingdom of God. So beginning with salvation all the way through. And it's just so evident in Scripture. When I came into the fullness of the Spirit in 1997, I'd been pastoring about 14 and a half years, and I became really desperate, as I mentioned. And after I had this encounter with God, everything began to shift and change. I spoke in tongues at the parsonage where we were living. And then I went to a meeting a couple of weeks after that, and somebody laid hands on me, and the power of God came upon me in ways I'd never experienced in all my life. After that, I started seeing people healed. I started seeing things in the Spirit. I started getting words of knowledge. It's just a lot of things were activated in my life that I had not seen previously. Now, I'm not saying that some of those gifts may not have been there, but it was like they began to manifest. You see, when the Holy Spirit, when you're saved, He comes and dwells in you. Romans 8, 9. If any man have not the Spirit, he doesn't belong to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has all the gifts. But there's something, I believe, about the laying on the hands, something about impartation that stirs things up. And there's a manifestation of what God's put in you that can begin to manifest so you can fulfill your purpose and fulfill God's plan and design for your life. And we see that happening. Even in Philip, he's chosen to be one of the seven. He's a man full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. But now he's in Samaria, and this anointing's coming upon him, and he's operating in healing. Well, why is he doing that? Well, Jesus told them in Mark 16 that these signs will follow those who believe in me. They'll speak in new tongues, they'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. If they drink anything poisonous, they won't be harmed, and so forth. There'll be supernatural protection. There'll be supernatural power that will flow and operate in their lives. And so, Philip is now seeing that manifest in his life. And I'm saying that as a believer, we've got to refuse to settle for less than what we see in the Scripture. We've got to refuse to settle for less than what Jesus says is available to us through the Holy Spirit. Now, there's, and it's more than just believing it, it's beginning to walk in it. Because after this happened to me, I began to get invitations to go and preach, particularly when the Lord led us to step out from pastoring, where we were pastoring, and just to live by faith and minister I was going to the nations and doing conferences and ministering churches, and I started getting invitations from numbers of churches that were Pentecostal, charismatic. They believed in the gifts. They believed in the power. And more than a few times, I had members and some even pastors tell me after I'd come and some of the gifts would manifest and people would be healed and so forth. And they said, we believe this, but we just haven't been seeing it. So we don't need to feel satisfied because we've chosen to believe it. It's for today. We believe this stuff happens. We have to take steps of faith in order for it to begin to manifest in our lives. Well, I hadn't been called to be a preacher. It didn't say you were. But you became a believer when you believed. These signs shall follow those who believe. Believe. And so it's important to understand this. And there's objections that people will begin to erase. Well, I believe that the scriptures very clearly teach that this power was only for the original 12. That's the reason when Peter and John went, they were part of the original 12. Let's talk about that a minute. All right. What about that 120 the Holy Spirit came upon on the day of Pentecost? So that's 10 times more than the original 12. Before that, what about the 70 Jesus sent out and gave them power to cast out demons? We know that because when they come back, and they said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So we've gone from 12 to 70 to 120. And then day of Pentecost, there were, you know, shortly after Pentecost and shortly thereafter, you got 5,000 people who are now believing. And if you take Jesus at his word, he said these signs will follow those that believe. So now you got 5,000. No, it wasn't just for the 12. The 12 do have a unique place. The foundations in the holy city to come will have the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb on it. And we honor them and thank God for them. And it's so blessed by them. God, some of the scriptures we have, God moved upon them through his Holy Spirit in order for us to have the scriptures today. Okay? But the Holy Spirit was not relegated to just the 12. The supernatural power was not just for the 12. Jesus taught us better than that, to know better than that. He told the disciples in John 14, these signs, in John 14, 12, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. Now, he told those that to the 12. He told the 12 that. But before he ascended, 11 of them were there. Judas has hung himself. There were 11. And then he told them to go into all the world. We covered this last week so quickly. All the world, disciple people, get them baptized. And then I want you to teach them to obey, observe, to do, to heed all the things I've taught you to do. And I will be with you even unto the end of the age. Those 12 are no longer here among us today. They died. They're now with Jesus. So Jesus' message that he would be to the end of the age meant to those that they would disciple to do the same thing that he had taught them to do. He would be with them to the end of the age. Mark 16 also bears that out. Well, but how does that deal with the signs and wonders? Well, all you got to do, if he says, I want you to teach them to observe all the things I taught you, is you go back in the Gospels and you find all the things he taught them to do. And when he chose the 12, he sent them out by two into the city, and he said, now, I want you to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Freely you've received, freely give. Well, I don't think that's the way it works. Well, talk to Jesus about that. Did he mean for them to teach the people they discipled to do the same things he commanded them to do? Did he or did he not? Because he definitely commanded them to go and heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and raise the dead. And I've seen people healed of some very serious stuff. I know God touched me and raised me from the dead. My mom had an out-of-body experience. She was hemorrhaging. They basically had given her up. I was pronounced dead. So I know he raises the dead because I'm here today. You can't just choose to believe parts of verses and skip over the rest of it. You teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you to do. We haven't been authorized to mess with that. We haven't got an upgraded version. This is it, folks. And we'll have to stand before the Lord Jesus who commanded that, gave that commandment and commission. And thank God, listen, I'm grateful for everybody that's obeying any of it. Understand what I'm saying? But let's try to obey all of it as best we can. So that objection about it's just for the 12, or the power was just for the first century church. The apostles and their associates, you know, the early generation of the church, the first century. So just think about that. So are you telling me the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church is moving with power, the gifts are flowing, people are manifesting the gifts, revelation, gifts, signs, wonders, dreams, visions, words of knowledge, gifts of healing, laying on of hands, casting out devils, and then the calendar changes and you enter the second century and the Holy Spirit says, whoa, 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 I got to leave now. I got y'all going, you know. I'm going to take the training wheels off now. You're on your own now. I mean, that's really, that just doesn't even make sense. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. We started with Acts 1:8 to take the gospel as witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's still on the table, folks. The Holy Spirit's still here. The same Spirit the early church has is the same Spirit that lives in your chest. Well, then why aren't we seeing it? That's a good question. Jesus went into his hometown, and it says he could do no mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. All he could do is lay hands on a few sick folks, and they were healed. And we're excited and should be when a few people are healed. Amen? Thank God for that. But did you see what that scripture teaches us? That Jesus saw it as below the standard. He couldn't do the mighty works. And a lot of people can accept, well, yeah, you go on mission trips to these foreign countries where they haven't heard much. You can see that kind of stuff. But where does it say, you know, once it's come through, it goes on and you can't expect it anymore? We draw conclusions based on experience rather than expect our experiences to line up with what the Word of God says. The power of the Holy Spirit we see in the book of Acts is for today's church, not just for the first century church. And some will say, well, we don't need the power now because we've got the Bible. And they interpret 1 Corinthians 13 about tongues passing away, knowledge passing away, when that which is perfect is come. Well, have you lost all your knowledge? Do you know anything? That which is perfect is talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the consummation, completion of the age at the return of Christ, not when the Scripture was canonized. Let me ask you something. When Peter stood up and preached from Joel on the day of Pentecost, was that word a perfect word? Was that God's word? Was it any less the Bible than the Bible we have today? No. Thank God for the canonization of the Scripture. Thank God for the men that worked on discerning and putting the books, the established books together. But the idea that somehow once that first edition came across the printing press and there we have the Bible, then again, well, Holy Spirit, you don't really need me now. You can't separate the Spirit and the Word. The Father's looking for those who worship Him in spirit and truth. You can't. You can get into bibliolatry, idolizing the Bible when you use the Bible to to do away with the Holy Spirit. Father's looking for people to worship in spirit and in truth. And in no way would I ever denigrate or minimize the Scriptures. I stand on those. That's so, so important. But neither do I want to minimize the Holy Spirit. Jesus says it's necessary that I go away, because if I don't, the Spirit can't come. We need the Holy Spirit. Jesus saw it as vitally important. He said, I'll be with you to the end of the age. And that's how He's able to be with us, through His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ that dwells in the believer. And there's an empowerment that can be released into the believer's life through the Holy Spirit. And we need to believe for the fullness of that. Well, I believe I've got all there is to get. You need to blow a few more breaths in that balloon to make God a little bit bigger. There's none of us that's got all there is. There's always more with Him. It's like looking through one of those kaleidoscopes. I mean, every step and turn, you just see all these dimensions of God. The Scripture just opens up so much about the Lord that we haven't even tasted and seen yet. Never think, well, you've got all there is. Now, you can say, my salvation is a finished work. I'm rested on Jesus' finished work. There's no works that I can do that will merit my salvation. It is done. Thank God it's a finished work. It is done. But what God wants to do through you is not done yet. And I will even go as far as to say, even when Jesus comes back and you get a new glorified body and heaven and earth passes away and there's a new heaven and a new earth, you're going to discover that He won't be through with you then either. He's got more for you to do. There's always more with God. Press in. Believe. Don't allow commentaries and well-versed people in these complicated theological systems, don't allow that to trip you up. I do not believe if you put a New Testament into someone's hand that lived on an isolated island with a group of people, never exposed to all the stuff that's been written about the Bible, but you just gave them a New Testament in their own language they could understand and say, I don't have time to talk to you about it. You just read it and leave. I don't think you would come back in 25 years and see them having developed these complicated theological systems that gives you reasons why you shouldn't believe that God's a God of power, that if you're sick, you shouldn't be asking God to heal you, or if somebody's got a demon, that you shouldn't believe that because that stuff doesn't happen today. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The devil's still doing his work, and Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Let God be truer. True and every man a liar. Got to move on quickly. The gifts and manifestations. I've already jumped over in this pool anyway. The gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit we see in the book of Acts are also for today. Demons were crying out. And I want to say the things I'm saying with kindness, but I want you to know it matters. This matters. Because I get phone calls from people that are sitting under teaching to tell them that this is not for today. When they get sick, they're looking for somebody that might pray with them, that God might touch them, that perhaps Jesus would do for them what He did for the people in the Bible. Well, I've seen people prayed for and nothing happened. I have too. Lots of them. As far as what I could see or any knowledge I had of anything manifesting. But I could also sit down with you for a few hours and tell you story after story of how God touched someone, how God set someone free, how God saved someone, how God healed someone, how God revealed something to someone to put them on the right path. In this service last Sunday, and I can share this because the brother was sharing it with me Wednesday night in the service during the altar time, I think we just dismissed, And I went down, and I kept being drawn to a young man sitting over here. I didn't know why I kept looking at him, but I've learned to know when that's happening, God's wanting to do something. I didn't know exactly what God wanted to do, but I knew if I just step into it, I could trust him to help me. So I stepped into it, and I pointed to him. I said, the Lord's given me a word for you. Because that word, as soon as I started speaking, I started seeing something. And so I called him. He came over. I wasn't going to call him over. He came over. And the Lord gave a word about something that happened 3 years earlier that put him into a place of heaviness he had been struggling with ever since and had not been able to get back. He said everything I said was true. And this the friend that brought him shared with me that he had asked him when the invitation started, don't you want to go up? He said, no, I don't think so. He asked him again, don't you want to go up? So this friend started praying, I know, Lord, he's needing a touch from you today. If he won't go up there, would you have somebody point him out? Would you have somebody to come say something to him? About that time, the Lord spoke to me. I spoke to him, and his world was rocked. How could someone know that? It was a revelatory gifting in that moment about something that had happened in his life. Exactly when he said it was within a few days of being exactly 3 years of when it had happened. Pretty big thing. I'm not going to do that. That's his story to tell. But God loved him that much. God loved that boy that much. He does stuff like that. He's the same today. And yes, there's times I haven't seen things happen. But we're called to obey. The result side, that's God's side. We're called to do what the Word says. And if you begin developing your theology based on disappointment or lack of manifestation, you'll end up in a deep place of doubt and unbelief and then feel justified in believing wrong things that the Bible clearly teaches. I mean, wrong things about what the Bible really teaches. The gifts and manifestation of the Holy Spirit we see in the book of Acts are also for today. We should be praying for people to be healed. We should be praying for people to be delivered. We should believe in God to do what man can't do. If we relegate God to doing only what man can do, where does that leave you? And if you can believe that God saves people, and, you know, Christians know that. If you've been saved, you know he has supernatural power. Then why would it be a big thing to believe he could do something that seems naturally impossible when it comes to other dimensions, like the physical body, or what's going on in your mental world, or what's going on in the spirit realm concerning the demonic? He's Lord over all that. These are for today. I remember in Honduras a number of years ago, I was down there ministering, and we were with Brother Bobby down there in Honduras, and we'd been ministering in different churches, and he took us to a church outside of a village named Talanga. We went in there, and I preached and I ministered, called people up, and there was a bunch of children. I mean, I'd never seen that many children just come to the altar. They came up and just knelt at the altar, and we were praying with people, and these children were just kneeling by the altar praying. So I just started getting behind them and called their team, just lay hands. You know, Lord, just bless this child. Thank you for this child. Holy Spirit, just minister to this child. And those children were just falling out, just falling on the floor. It's like in a deep sleep, like just resting. That just such peace was on them, just still. I mean, when you got 5 and 6 and 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old little kids inactive, I'm just saying, they're just out. I'm thinking, wow, they're used to this. This must be a spirit-filled, charismatic type church. They're used to these kind of atmospheres. So it's just wonderful. We saw people saved. We saw people healed, and the Lord touching these children. Well, it was afterwards when Brother Bobby told me, he said, well, Brother Eddie said, I didn't mention this to you, but this was a Baptist church we were in today. And they've never been around any of this kind of stuff. Well, thanks a whole lot, brother. Yeah. But I was really glad he hadn't told me, because I might have hedged. I might have, adjusted wrongly. But obviously, these children had never been around anything like that. They were experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. It was so sweet and precious. And afterwards, they were so happy. One of the little boys ran up to me and pulled out a little keychain with a toy car, airplane or something on it. What was it? I got it at home. And that was his little treasure. He said, I want to give this to you. And I'm thinking, you're down here in the outback. And I want to give it to you. I could tell he really wanted me to have it. So I received it. And it's a treasure for me now because it reminds me. He just wanted to give me something. He had been so blessed. It's so sweet.
Well, that must have been the devil.
Again, you usually got a crowd when somebody's healed. Going to be happy, and some of them are going to begin to scoff and mock and tell you why that couldn't be God. But in the Bible, in Samaria, there was great joy in the city. Be careful what you mock. You be careful what you scoff at. Jesus Christ, the perfect, pure Lamb and Son of God, cast a demon out of a man, and the religious leaders of his day looked at him and said, you're casting that demon out because you got one. You're casting out that demon by the power of Beelzebub. Isn't that something? They didn't deny that a demon had been cast out, but they weren't about to give God credit for it. And Jesus says, well, if a devil cast out the devil, then his kingdom sure ain't going to stand. You know, Jesus understood that, tried to tell them, but be careful. If you don't believe in this, you're in the wrong place. Because this is what we believe. The Lord has spoken to me clearly about being unapologetic about who we are. Because I thank God that we live in a city that loves Jesus, and we got some great churches and great spiritual churches, but this is who we are. This is our DNA. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the prophetic. We believe Jesus is the same. We want to pray for people to be healed. Well, what if it doesn't happen? We want to pray for them again. What if it doesn't happen? We want to pray for them again. Well, what if that demon doesn't come out? Well, then we'll pray and fast some more, and we'll go at it again. Well, that doesn't sound like Jesus. Well, tell that to the blind man that Jesus prayed for twice and got his healing. I was teaching in a storefront and having a weekly Bible study. And one of the ladies brought a friend of hers who was from the Midwest. She'd come on vacation to spend some time with her friend. I didn't know anything about the lady, but having prayer afterwards, and the lady came up for prayer. I took her by the hands, and I only share this just to let you know that the Holy Spirit can manifest. Boom. This lady, I took her by the hand. I didn't even start praying well. She just, boom, she hit the floor. And it really had an experience with the Lord, because when she got up, she was like, what happened? She had never been to a church and had heard anything. I hadn't taught about any of that stuff that day. I was teaching on faith, but the Holy Spirit just came upon her. And she had to have help, and she had all these questions. What happened to me? I don't understand this. I've got such peace. I just feel like God's all over me right now. What's going on? And I was able to share with you, this is the Holy Spirit. God's just loving on you. He's been waiting on you. He's wanting you to know He's a God of power. I was in a Christian school on one occasion. Wasn't necessarily really praying for kids or anything. And I just shared a devotional. And I was talking to the children and just kind of blessing them. And over here, a little boy just hit the floor. And they started calling for medical people and all that. There was one of the teachers there that had been around and said, listen, no, he's just experienced the Holy Spirit. And in a minute, the little boy got up. What was that? What was happening? The Holy Spirit had just touched him. He came where the anointing was flowing. We don't control the Lord. Now, your unbelief can keep him away and keep him from doing things that he would otherwise do for you. It's not about us, it's about him. The gospel's not about us, it's about him. And that's what I'm saying. It's important that we do what he says, not what some commentary says. Not with someone that's gone somewhere and got the faith schooled out of them. You can educate yourself into unbelief if you're not careful. You need to be careful what pool you drink out of. And I'm not saying that to make you fearful of going anywhere but here. No, you study. You search the Scripture. You make things that's, make sure that's so. But what does it say to search? The Scriptures. You let the Holy Ghost be your teacher. He'll bear witness with what's true. And I don't think he's bearing witness to any belief that tells people, don't put a demand of your faith to believe God for the impossible. When Jesus was constantly rebuking his disciples for their unbelief and constantly challenging them to believe. Believe. You'll receive if you believe. Be it done unto you according to your faith. It still works that way. So we don't need teaching that encourages us not to believe. And it's amazing how that teaching can make you more afraid of the devil than have more faith in God. Well, I'm afraid I might get a wrong spirit. You just keep praising Jesus, asking Jesus to bless you, telling Jesus you want all he's got, and you don't have to worry about the devil sending you something. Because the Holy Spirit will come to exalt Jesus, and the devil will be working overtime to try to pollute any teaching that would introduce you to who Jesus really is. The gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit we see in the book of Acts are for today. And let me just say lastly, quickly, the laying on of hands for ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit is also for believers today. And I want to key in on this. It says that none of them had received, but when the apostles came and laid hands on them, they received. And Simon saw something. Something happened when hands were laid on them and they received the Holy Spirit that moved him to want that more than all the rest of the stuff he was seeing. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is simply the theological action of a believer being immersed into Christ's body at the moment of salvation. Well, I do believe that happens at the moment of salvation, that you become a part of the body of Christ. You're adopted in the family of God. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the coming upon you ministry of the Holy Spirit that empowers you. That's what Jesus said. You shall receive. Remain in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. It is a power encounter with God, and there are numbers of people here this morning. Their testimony, along with hundreds of millions of people that are alive on the planet right now, the fastest growing part of the body of Christ is those who believe in the fullness of the Spirit, the gifts, the miracles, and everything. That power encounter with God and the Holy Spirit shifts everything. Mickey, I was talking to her about I believe God's calling us to step out. Well, how are we going to live? We won't have a salary. We need a new car. How are we going to pay for our... We won't have insurance. And what are we going to do? Where are we going to live? We don't have a house. We don't have... And that's valid. But then we went to a conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And she came home. We don't have to worry about that. God's going to take care of us. She'd be going down to Walmart and different places stalking, looking for somebody to pray for. I mean, she became a different person when the Holy Spirit came. And she loved Jesus with all her heart. I'd been seeing her for years get up first thing in the morning doing her daily Bible reading and praying consistently. She'd been much more consistent in her walk with the Lord in our early years of marriages than I ever was. Consistent. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit came upon her, she became a little powerhouse. I'm like, who is this woman? You know, it says Jesus, John saw Jesus, he had fire in his eyes. Well, she had some of that Jesus in her, praying for people, and she started seeing things happen too. God answering prayer and getting revelation. Why? She became open to more of the Holy Spirit's ministry in her life. Very interestingly, in Hebrews chapter 6, the writer of Hebrews is making a case that has to do with Jesus' priesthood, the order of Melchizedek, and all this stuff, and about how the readers need to have their senses discerned and so forth. And he mentions this. He says, I'm not going to spend the time to lay again the first principles of the Word of God. In other words, the ABCs of discipleship. And he mentions like six things, like repentance from dead works, the resurrection of the dead. You know what else he mentions? And the doctrine of baptisms, plural, and the laying on of hands. That was part of the teaching of the early church. Plural, baptism in water, baptism in the Spirit. And the laying on of hands.
Well, the laying on of hands was expressly for ordaining people into ministry.
Yeah, they did that too. But it's also part of Jesus' commission. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It was also part of apostolic impartation. Timothy, I laid my hands on you. You need to stir up that gift of God that's inside of you. You see, the early church had some understanding that needs to be restored in our day. I feel like I've only given you the hors d'oeuvre. Appetizer. But something else tells me you feel like you're already had enough to eat. Worship team, would you come?
Thank you, Pastor.
Bless you, Pastor Larry. Let's stand. Our prayer team members are coming. Mickey, get that microphone a moment. Pastor Larry, come right up here if you would. I mean, obviously, the Holy Spirit's moving on your heart. Right there is a microphone. You say what you want to say. The Spirit's giving you.
It's just cost him everything and her. But he wouldn't trade it for anything he's had in the past. For 17 years, I labored in the flesh, did all I knew to do, love God, love the Word. I was defeated. I was losing my ministry, my marriage. And I found the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost found me. It's changed my life forever. What he's talking about is reality. It's real. The water's rising. The water's rising. Come today and get it. Don't be a spectator. Get it today.
Amen. We're going to begin to worship. You feel free to linger as long as you like. Please honor what the Lord's doing up here. I don't know what all the Holy Spirit may want to do, but you are free to ease out. And you can fellowship out in the Commons Hall, Commons area. I know some of you may have appointments, things you have to go to, and I respect that. Don't want you to feel any guilt or condemnation in any way. If you need to go, understand, no problem. But we're just going to step into a time of ministry. There won't be a formal amen to this service. But we're here today to lay hands on you. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you need prayer for healing, and more than anything, if you're here without Jesus Christ, today can be the day of your salvation. I was seeing earlier like a blonde-headed woman, and I heard the Lord say, you have needs, and it's in your knees. And I heard knees plural. You're having a lot of pain in both knees. And I just believe the Lord wants to touch you. And I encourage you to come forward if that is you. Also, Along with that, I saw like something being built. I don't know if a house was, or if this is just a picture or image, or if it's something literal. And it's like a red X was over the door, and the Lord said there's been a barricade to what you're trying to build. But it was kind of a play on words. But if you will go to your knees and ask me, I will remove that barrier. I will remove that barricade. So if that's you, either that speaks to you, I want you to come. And also, this is general, and I know this may be several people, but I did see this too related to one person. Again, it was a lady, but it's just general bone pain in your body. I don't know if it's arthritis, but just there's just pain in your bones. Pain in your bones. And the Lord, I believe, wants to pour some healing oil in today to alleviate that pain. Also, I'd encourage you, if there's any offense or any unforgiveness, to just let that go. Let that go. Let the Lord touch you and heal you. And if part of that or all of that speaks to you, I encourage you just to come and receive ministry. Receive ministry. The way I was seeing, when I was praying earlier today, like over in this area, front half, but over in this area, somebody that was having problems with your eyes, plural, both of your eyes, and I was getting the word honey, and it's interesting because Mickey had mentioned earlier about the sweeter than honey woman's thing, but I believe there's a woman here, and the Lord's wanting to deal with you about your eyes, and he wants you to know he's sweeter than a honeycomb. There's a tenderness in that. It's not something you have to fear. I just encourage you to come with childlike faith and let him touch you. Just make your way to the front right now and just receive. Prayer and ministry, you just come on up. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to minister to people, touch people, bring healing, bring breakthrough, answer prayers. Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit be poured out. Thank you for the poured out. Thank you for those that received the baptism last Sunday. Thank you for those that have been healed this week. Lord, we just honor you for that. We're grateful for that. We're stepping into the more today, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I am seeing, this goes back a ways, but I'm seeing like a late 1960s model Volkswagen Beetle. I feel like there's someone here that you had one of those, and I feel like the Lord is saying, I'm trying to express what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling, but the Lord's saying that time, that season of your life, you are still struggling with a lot of guilt and a lot of condemnation. And today, the Lord says, today is the day to be made clean from that, to receive the impartation, to be able to break free from that guilt and that condemnation. It's not that you're not saved, that you don't know the Lord, but it's just you keep being haunted and tormented by the memories of something in that season. I think that's specifically going to mean something to someone here. And the Lord wants to bring some freedom for you that you have not had yet. In your life, you haven't had it. He's wanting to bring you into a new level of His freedom. If those of you are coming forward, please let me know. I'd like to pray with you as well. Hear the rest of the story. Give God the glory. We're going to begin to worship now. You just come if you need ministry, if you need prayer.
Lord, I seek you.
Need some more of our prayer team members over here.
Lord, I find you. The more I love you, I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe till your heart.
Here on the front, right here, you ma'am, I just want to share a word with you. I looked over there, I just saw like they have in Hawaii, that aloha, the thing they put around you, it's like that being put on you, and it's like the expression was aloha, and it's like the Lord says, I'm going to restore your joy. And when I think of aloha, you think of Hawaii, you think of paradise, that place. And I just think if you're stepping into a season where God's going to begin to surprise you, it's something you've yearned for, you've longed for, and there's been a lot of resistance and barrier and heaviness that tried to come on you. But it's like the Lord said, aloha. It'd be like, good morning, hello. I'm reminded of that book by being again, good morning, Holy Spirit. So I just declare the joy of the Lord coming upon you, the garment of praise for that heaviness. The Lord just wants to bless you today, minister to you today, and encourage you today. If there could be some of you sisters that would just minister to this sweet lady, Christy, behind you. Tina, if you would go over there. And just, I just feel like the Lord wants to minister to her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Couple right here. I don't know if we've met or not. I didn't think so. I'm just being drawn to you. And I'm getting the scripture out of Matthew 7 where Jesus said, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened. And I heard the Lord say that you are seekers and that you're at the right place at the right time. And I just pray the Lord would just pour his blessing out upon you today. I used to be a carpenter and builder, and when we would pour concrete, I'd have to walk through that concrete, you know, when we're finishing out, and it would be like, just the next step would be heavy, it'd be hard to work through. And it's almost like I feel like you've been walking through a season where you feel like you've been wading in wet concrete, you know, but I just see the Lord, the path before you. God, it's just like it becoming a smooth surface, the sun coming up, and the Lord's just saying, you're moving in the right direction. Just that seeking of the heart, like the Bereans who search the scriptures. The Lord says, you seek me, you shall find me, you search for me with all your heart. That's the bulk of what I'm seeing is the searching, just keep seeking, keep searching. What you're yearning for, he has for you. The scripture says, deep calls unto deep. That desire that's calling out, that means there's a corresponding reality to meet that desire. So, Father, I pray for this man and woman that you would bless them today. I pray that your joy would be upon their life. I pray that you would open the door before them, Lord. And, Lord, all the resistance and warfare, the heavy treading, God. I pray that would be brought to an end today. And I even see like some generational thing that's tried to put its hook and pull you back, put its hook and pull you back. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break the power of any generational spirit, curse-related thing. I break that power from you. It shall not be so for you. It shall not be so for you. It shall be as the Lord has determined. It shall be as the Lord has determined. Have I not proven myself in the past when I've reached down and I've pulled you up? Watch what I'm about to do as you search for me and you seek for me with your whole heart. It's not upon your ability. It's upon my ability. It is upon your faith. Be it done to you according to your faith in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope that makes sense to you and blesses you today. In Jesus' name.